Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach with another 15-second brain massage on Bible prophecy. Iraq is the location of ancient Babylon. Daniel had a vision of Babylon in the time of the end, represented as a lion with the wings of an eagle. When the eagle's wings are plucked, the lion stands to receive the heart of a man. Think about it.
Popular radio talk show host, college professor, writer, and pastor Jerry Scheidbach is offering his patented brain massage on Bible prophecy at the Lighthouse. Pastors and missionaries have consulted Pastor Scheidbach on questions of Bible prophecy for many years. Recently, a group of pastors have asked him to prepare a workshop on biblical prophecy because of his well-known expertise on the subject. His written work is in peer review in preparation for publication. You can receive this valuable instruction from the professor Sunday mornings from 9:30 to 10:30 here at the Lighthouse, located at 1310 West Betterabia Road in Santa Maria. If you can't attend the class, you may enroll in the radio prophecy class, and you can even take the course online. Call 347-9887 for more information about this exciting opportunity. Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and spokesperson for God. It is time for the Brain Massage Show, where we stimulate the mind with truth massage therapy. Folks, the counter-revolution is gaining strength in the Obama administration. What is the counter-revolution, you say? Glad you asked. You didn't ask, you say. Well, let me tell you this. If you knew that a group of people since, well, really all the way back to the so-called Roaring Twenties, have banded together with one ultimate objective, and that is to undo the American Revolution. Actually, there were forces at work trying to do that right from the very beginning. People who have it as their objective to reverse the American Revolution. A band of people committed to the proposition that representative government is too cumbersome to get anything done and democracy too weak to secure the wealth of the elite. And as a matter of fact, a threat to the wealth of the elite. What if you knew that this group has been working to undermine our concept of individual liberty since then? They have worked through the public school or the public education system, slowly but surely erasing our heritage, rewriting our history, and turning our kids against their own nation. They have been working to undermine the culture by introducing more and more perversity with the plan to undermine Christianity, to break its influence in our culture. That they have been working in our seminaries, undermining the authority of the Bible, making faith a mockery and the ridicule of the so-called educated. What if you knew that this is a purposed counter-revolution, indeed intended to transform America from a God-fearing, Christian-based nation into a secular, humanist, antichrist society? And then what if you knew that Obama is the modern quintessential figurehead of this movement, and that they are attempting right now to make their big move to finally break America out from under God once and for all, marginalize Christianity, and expel Christians from the public debate. And finally, that while the godless liberals are among the most faithful soldiers of this movement today, godless conservatives are also culpable for this current state of affairs in the country. And finally, that many who are unwitting soldiers fighting to further this theft of our heritage and this theft of our liberties, this theft of our nation, are, well, religious liberals. And since I am sure you have the good sense to realize this would indeed be a counter-revolution, it would turn the American Revolution inside out. It would undermine what our founders gave us. Then, not only do you want to know more about this, no doubt, but now you also understand what I mean by counter-revolutionary. The godless liberals, together with godless conservatives, are undermining our liberties. Today I want to talk about religious Marxism, which, as anyone familiar with the writings of Marx, will immediately see as an oxymoron. However, there is a religious version of Marxism out there. Remember, folks, godless Marxism produces communism, while religious Marxism produces socialism. Now, for those who have some academic background in these various philosophies, allow me to offer the caveats necessary to maintain with you the integrity I need for my comments to be dutifully regarded. I recognize some of these things are generalizations, and generalizations might annoy some of my listeners. But bear with me. Please understand, I am aware there are groups that represent hybrids of the two extremes, dictatorial communism and, on the other side, democratic socialism. In fact, probably no two liberals you talk to will feel comfortable being categorically defined. I mean, if you listen closely to most liberals today, you will hear a little bit of Jefferson, a little bit of Marx. You know what I mean? Say a teaspoon of controlled economy with a cup of democratic let the people decide, a pound of confiscatory taxation to help the poor with a passion for free market economy. Very confused out there. I mean, some of these folks are as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. In the hand of a toddler. It's all over the board. I understand that. However, the fact is, all of these hybrids have roots in the same essential basic notions. And I addressed some of these in my last show. It all comes down to a difference in how we view man. The view of man that led the American Revolution is that he is a created being whose creator has endowed him with certain unalienable rights. Furthermore, that, however, he is a fallen creature with sin nature and natural inclination toward selfishness and will tend to abuse power and to use it to deprive other men of their unalienable rights in order to advance him or herself over their neighbors. Now, this is a biblical view of man, and it became the dominant view of man on this continent during the Great Awakening. Coming out of this great Christian revival were ideals such as soul liberty, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and so forth. At the same time, a maxim developed saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I know that saying, as it has come down to us, was phrased in this way by one named Lord Acton in the late 1800s. However, the sentiment was expressed often in many different ways way earlier on, in Parliament in the early 1700s, as a matter of fact. The statement was made, quote, unlimited power is apt to corrupt the minds of those who possess it, end quote. In any event, this mistrust of power is the hallmark of the writings and speeches of the founders. It permeates the thinking of everyone who was engaged in the great work of crafting our Constitution. So, the idea of unalienable rights that came from God was ensconced in the Declaration and put forward as the justification for breaking away from under the abuses of King George. And having made this declaration, making us then enemies of England, England then proceeding to engage us in war, and that led to what we call the War for Independence. Something we celebrate on July 4th, by the way. The second outstanding feature of our revolution was the notion that men cannot be trusted with power, that power corrupts. Lord Acton, as I mentioned, merely phrased elegantly the sentiment long held already in the hearts of Americans generally. He certainly did not invent the concept, but he did phrase it very well when he said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In any event, this was the prevailing sense, and from these beliefs about human nature, they constructed the most glorious system of governance ever conceived and launched the American experiment and the Great Revolution. But then came Karl Marx. He postulated the notion that property corrupts. He believed that property is what corrupts and that religion was used by the propertied class to keep the poor shackled to serve the rich. And he had plenty of examples to point to. The rich typically did exactly what he charged. And if given the opportunity, they'll do it today. Indeed, the rich tend to use the power of riches to create an environment in which the poor are kept as virtual slaves. But you see, it is not property, but the power that property gives them that is the culprit, that corrupts. Now, follow this closely. I want to address religious liberals today, so I need to lay a foundation here. Look, what the founders did is establish the best system in the world that the world has ever known for distributing the wealth and keeping the propertied class from gaining sufficient power to oppress the people. But you liberals just don't see it, mostly because you are lied to day in and day out about capitalism. But please pay attention here, because it is your liberal progressive types that are lining the pockets of the super rich and impoverishing the lower classes, so-called lower classes, I should say. It is the liberals that advance policies that divide the super rich from the poor and widen the gap. Who has benefited from Obamatix? Well, the super rich benefit. The middle class is smashed. In fact, if you're paying attention, every time liberals gain control of the government, their policies tend to squeeze the middle class out, to push the poor deeper into poverty and to increase their ranks, and then to narrow the ranks and increase the riches of the super wealthy. The super rich are always lurking in the shadows of liberal policies. Have you ever noticed that? This is because they regard themselves as the elite who need to take care of you. But look, what the founders did is create a situation where anyone could work hard and make good. Sure, their system does not reward laziness, and in a truly free market, it does not reward cheats. In a truly free market, cheaters have to deal with someone coming along and providing an honest deal for the people. And the people leave the cheat and go to do business with the honest guy. I mean, it's a natural check against the cheaters. So the cheaters work to gain political power in order to control the markets, and that brings oppression upon the people. The founders created a system that makes it difficult for the rich oppressors to use their property to gain sufficient political power to oppress the poor. But that is changing. As we get more and more corrupted politicians, the rich are buying these guys and with them destroying our country. We certainly do have a problem with certain rich guys who want to control this country and its markets. But it's not the conservative, God-fearing rich, it's the godless rich. Don't you liberals get it? I mean, if you turn political power over to the people who are owned by the super rich, don't you see that you've had it? Obama won't reveal his contributor list for the very simple reason that it will show that he is funded by many super rich. Anyway, Marxism comes along and points to property and makes property the enemy. But the fact is, property is the friend of liberty. As I've indicated clearly in an earlier show, in a free market situation, the industrious, the diligent, the persistent, with freedom to invest his labor to the acquisition of property as he is able, and the mobility this has created in our society for individuals to move from one so-called class to another freely is a remarkable thing in the history of the world. It is unique to America, and it is the chagrin of the moneyed astrobutt snobs who think their class barriers ought to be secure against some lowbrow coming up the ranks and imposing themselves and intruding into their ranks, the ranks of the elite and the privileged classes. Let me listen. Besides, this freedom to acquire property on the part of the poor often interferes with the ability to control business. Of those who are already established. And they often resort to using purchasing political power to squeeze out the little guy. And this is the most vile and wicked business, and it's a business our founders constructed our government to avoid. They wanted to break it. And thinking about breaks, I've got to take one. But I'll be back in a minute. I hope you're paying attention. This would be a great set of CDs to get for your high school students, especially for any young man or lady getting ready to go off to college. You parents ought to call in and get a set of these, and then also the one I did on property and rights a while back and the relationship between them. And every young person ought to listen to them, four or five times before they are sent off to the Marxist indoctrination camps called colleges today. I'll be right back.
Rearranging the face of a clock around the fantasies of a child is cute, but children need to be taught to live in real time. Let's make sure the real world includes appropriate time with dad and mom and the family together. Because it isn't just about time, it's about love. For real answers to family challenges, visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, shining the light of God's truth, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's protection and blessing. Look for the Lighthouse on Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach with a 15-second brain massage on Bible prophecy. Early Protestants identified the papacy with the Antichrist and the religious system of Rome with the great whore of Revelation 17. I guess they failed to notice that the whore rides the beast and the true Antichrist destroys her.
Sundays from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the Lighthouse, popular talk show host, college professor, and pastor Jerry Scheidbach will be offering a personal hands-on brain massage on Bible prophecy. All are welcome. Call 805-347-9887 for more information. Warning. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
Thank you.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, your beloved brain masseur, spokesperson for God, and fellow re-revolutionary. All right, listen up. Our founders created a system of governance that understood two essential truths about human nature. They understood, first of all, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Have you ever noticed that every time, at least every time I've heard our president alleged, where's your birth certificate, Mr. Obama? Every time I've heard him refer to this great maxim that all men are created equal and endowed with their creator with certain unalienable rights, have you noticed that he leaves out the words created and creator? Have you noticed that? He says all men are equal and endowed with certain unalienable rights. He does not believe our rights come from God. In fact, he thinks our rights are going to come from him. You've also noticed that you have never heard him say the Pledge of Allegiance. He'll mumble over the words under God and has made several statements to the effect that America is no longer a Christian nation. Yes, I'm aware of the context in which he said this, but I'm listening to it in the broader context of all these things that he said and done. Plus the fact that he is on record as saying he does not believe America is founded upon Christian beliefs. He subscribes fully to the false theory that the founders secretly despised Christianity and desired to create a system of governance that would, finally, destroy it. But more on that later. Our founders understood two basic truths about human nature that served as the foundation for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. First, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And second, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The first served as the cornerstone for the Declaration of Independence and the impetus for the Bill of Rights. The second served as the cornerstone principle guiding them in the construction of the Constitution and the division of powers, hindering anyone from attaining sufficient power to oppress the people, or at least that was the idea. However, our founders, to a man, recognized one great weakness in their system. The system they created required good people whose passions were governed by good religious principles. And so they constantly reaffirmed the important role of the Christian faith in supporting the system, because they understood human nature and realized that if men were lazy, indolent, selfish, and learned that they could vote themselves loot out of the public treasury, well, that this would lead to the end of our republic. They knew that wicked and unreasonable men would find a way to purchase votes by doling out of the treasury money to their friends, and that unless good men kept a watchful eye, we would lose our freedoms to this larceny. They warned about this constantly. Anyway, Marx came along and introduced the idea that it is not power that corrupts, but property. And most of you religious liberals believe exactly that. You've been duped. Religious liberals especially are convinced that property corrupts, that property is the enemy of the poor, that property is the culprit. However, the truth is, it is not property, it is power that corrupts. It is certainly true that wicked men will, if they can get away with it, use the power property affords them to oppress their neighbors. And that is why we have laws against monopolies and insider trading and controlled markets. However, the sneaky trick today is that the government is the one attempting to monopolize the markets. Are you hearing me? Are you paying attention? So wicked and unreasonable men have discovered a way to gain control over the markets. Just buy yourself a politician. It's the same creeps who vote themselves raises, by the way, when the rest of the country's suffering. Huh? These lousy politicians are trying to steal the economy and take it into their private power. They've got to be stopped. Monopoly's wrong even when government does it. The only way to stop them is to revive free markets, genuinely free markets. Only in free market environment can we provide for the greatest number of individuals the greatest amount of freedom to acquire the greatest amount of property and thereby keep any few individuals from amassing control over all the property. You know, groups like Congress and Senate and the White House, those groups. Individuals or groups, including government, need to be stopped. Here's the deal. Religious Marxists are convinced that property is the enemy of liberty, which too many today define as equality. But you see, that's another problem with Marxism, the notion of equality. And I'm going to address that in the next show. For now, let us focus on the issue of property. Property is not the enemy of liberty or freedom. They cry about economic justice, and they cast a vision that no man ought to have any more than another man. What nonsense. And yet these people are such hypocrites. And they better wake up, by the way, and see the truth. The people pretending to make an even playing field for everyone are themselves always taking advantage and giving themselves advantages in the system to benefit themselves. Well, those yahoos up there, I'm talking about Congress and the Senate and the rest of them, those yahoos up there ought to have to put any increase in their compensation for service on the ballot for voters to vote on. Oh, yeah. Take that, you hypocrites. And second, I couldn't stop at one. At no time ever should those scoundrels be allowed to pass any kind of legislation to which they themselves are not also obligated to obey and follow. They must not be able to exempt themselves from the laws they pass upon us. I mean, absolutely no way, not once, never. Every law they pass on our backs had better, by God and His grace, be strapped to their own backs, too. Man, I don't want to get going here. Look, absolutely no representative ought to serve more than two terms. Forget it, out, no career politicians, none, nada, zilch. Get in, get it done, and get out. We don't need any more of these bought and paid for representatives either, Republican or Democrat. Trash the two-party system. Have each state-nominated candidate for president, for example, and then narrow it down to the two who get the greatest number of national votes, and there are your president and vice president, period. No more of this nonsense. Pretty radical, huh? And look, hey, every candidate for office above dog catcher must provide proof of his citizenship or any other qualifications that are necessary to hold the office before they're nominated, period. Oh, brother, I knew if I got rolling on this, I've got to get back to my point. I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right. The essential thing to take from this show is that the problem with religious Marxists is they are convinced property is the enemy. They want to give government sufficient power to control property and to distribute it evenly. You talk about, you know, what's the old saying, putting the fox in the hen house to guard it, you know? Good night. How foolish. They think they suppose that the government politicians are going to be all fair and going to do everything justly and everything holy and everything right. What nonsense. These people trust government too much. They're not like our founders were. Our founders did not trust government or politicians, by the way. Some of the most corrupt bunch of characters in America are in the government. And that's what our founders feared, and it is why they set up a system that would slow down anybody's ability to accumulate enough power to oppress the people. Religious liberals today suffer from a terrible, simple-minded, naive foolishness in this regard. Our founders understood the danger of political power. They knew that power corrupts. They knew that property belongs to those who invested their labor and productive enterprise to acquire it. They left the distribution of wealth to the invisible hand of Adam Smith in his books. I don't know if you've read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. The hand that rewarded hard work, industry, tenacity, wit, and wisdom. They called upon those who were blessed by the unseen hand that moved invisibly in a free market to share their bounty with the poor. And it works. Yeah, I hear you already squalling and hollering about the number of the poor. First of all, these people are lying to you about the number of and the condition of the poor in this country. The Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! Psalm number 37, verse 25. Quote, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, end quote. You know, I want to write that on a card, and I want to use it and hand it out to all these professional beggars going about with God bless you on their lips as they attempt to pickpocket you into helping them make their payment on their Mercedes that's hiding around the corner. Oh, my goodness. All right, I know I've opened a can of worms here, but we'll fish for bass with them next time. All right, listen. When the poor are handled on a local level, in a community where they are known, they will be taken care of. Americans are amazingly generous. I believe in and I participate in food drives, coat drives, the works. And the Salvation Army, by the way, is a worthy organization deserving of our support. We certainly should address the needs of those less fortunate than ourselves. But locally, it should never be something handled on a national level. It shouldn't be federalized. All you then get is corruption. Can anybody spell acorn? It should be handled locally. And even locally, the first thing that ought to be done is to get these people to cough up the names, addresses, and phone numbers of nearest of kin, friends, pastors, former employers. They should be screened for drug and alcohol abuse. And by God and His grace, if they are busted because they are under the chastening hand of God for their drug abuse, alcohol addiction, or because they've broken every relationship to pieces by their wicked and perverse behavior, and have alienated themselves from all humanity so that they have absolutely no one in the world to turn to, well, then, friend, you see, something's wrong, isn't it? It's not something that's going to be fixed by you handing him some money. And what is wrong ought to be addressed to help them get reconnected to their fellow man and not simply given a handout, patted on the head, and sent down the street. They need to get real help. And all of this comes together. It's all interrelated. It addresses the reason that so many liberals are messed up today and have become pawns in the hands of those who want to shift America out from under God and put us all in the hands of fascist dictators who will most certainly use medicalized killing, just like Hitler did, to rid them of those pests that annoy them and interfere with their ability to take this government under their control. We had better wake up. Federal subsidized poverty programs are rife with corruption simply because they become about everything else except actually helping the poor. I mean, let it be done on a local basis where these people can be watched and seen, where it's more personal. When you depersonalize it, you create problems. It needs to be in a situation where the people being helped can be watched by the people helping them. You don't solve the poverty problem by legalized stealing. You know, legalize stealing the property of those who worked to earn it and take it from them to give to those who are lazy, drug-addled ne'er-do-wells. Anyway, so there, friends. I'm going to continue this discussion next time. I'm running short on my time today. And when this set of shows is completed, you'll have an excellent primer for your kids to help them understand the American Revolution and become an informed member of the Re-Revolution. All right. It's time to call in and give me a piece of your mind to chew on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. It is toll-free. Call in. Leave your message. And if you want me to call you back, leave your number and tell me you want me to call back. I usually get back to my callers, well, usually within 24 hours or less. And if you call and I happen not to get back to you, it means we just lost a number or something, fell through the cracks, forgive us. Call again. But I want to talk to you. So you call, leave your number, tell me you want me to call, and I'll be glad to call you back. Or you can contact me on my webpage. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the Contact Us button on the right side of the menu bar, and then you'll see a screen there where you can indicate lights on or lights off, and you can leave as long a message as you like. You can just type me a letter if you want to. Or give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. And give me lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. And most of you who've been listening to the show for a long time already know what all that's about. Others of you, well, you know, just go along with me for now. It's like thumbs up or thumbs down. Lights on, you agree. Lights off, you disagree. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights-off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights-on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. for two complete brand new brain massage shows.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.